This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Keep Joy on air by becoming a member, a subscriber, or donate. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.
Joy Drive on Joy 94.9 FM in Melbourne, Joy on your digital radio, iHeartRadio, TuneIn.com, or the Joy app. No matter where you are, you can always take Em and Warren with you.
Have you found it difficult to get an appointment to see your GP lately? And if you have, you're not alone, because getting in to see a GP has become increasingly difficult. And it raises the question, why? Well, Louise Stone is a general practitioner and also the associate professor at ANU Medical School. Louise, welcome to Joy Drive.
Yeah, look, it's good to be here, and I'm glad I don't have dinosaurs through my window.
So oh, you and me both, Louise.
I thought that was so cool.
Louise, is it true? Is it becoming more difficult to see a GP at the moment, or is it just, you know, some of us are experiencing it?
No, it's definitely more difficult. We're expecting to have about 11,000 too few GPs within the next 10 years. So it's getting more tricky as time marches on, yes.
Louise, does the age of our population have anything to do with the insufficient availability of GPs?
Look, it sort of does and it sort of doesn't. So obviously our population's getting older and sicker. But if you look at the general practice workforce, our general practice workforce is getting older and sicker too. We've got a lot more GPs who are older, and we're just not attracting the young ones anymore, because when you look at, you come out of university, you've got $100,000 worth of hex debt. It takes you 11 years to train to be a GP. It takes you 13 years maybe total to be a non-GP specialist. So we both have to do the same lot of exams, but you can earn five times the income staying as a hospital in the hospital. It's pretty hard for us to get people who are motivated enough to come sideways to us.
So, Louise, is it that it's not that enough students aren't going through the different medical schools and coming out the other end? It's just that more are not going, are staying in hospitals or choosing other specialist fields rather than GP. Is that the case?
Yeah, that's absolutely correct. So we're getting more people through medical school, no question about that. But more people are heading into the non-GP specialties. And the gap between what you can earn as a eye doctor, for instance, you know, if you're a male eye doctor, the taxable income's about $550,000, females about $400,000, and that's another argument. For GPs, it's $140,000 for the men, about $100,000 for the women.
We're chatting to General Practitioner Associate Professor, ANU Medical School, Louise Stone, about why it can be hard to see a GP at the moment. Louise, I'm wondering about rural areas. Is it even worse in rural and regional areas than it is in the city?
Yeah, absolutely. And I started my life as a country GP, and I love it. But I think it's, you know, I just talked about money, and we all hate talking about money. But the thing about it isn't so much the money. When I started in general practice, if I wanted to bulk bill someone, I could, you know, because I could still see, when you bulk bill someone, the money that comes from the government is supposed to pay for the whole practice. So it pays for your receptionist and your rent and everything else. And that money hasn't gone up for at least 10 years. So what's happened is that I can't bulk bill my poorest patients. And that's what kills us. We hate it. You know, we look at a patient who's, you know, elderly or frail and people with multiple illnesses. And it's worse with mental health, because the rebate the government offers in mental health is about half what it offers in physical health for long consultations. And that's just awful. You always hear charging people for things that you think should be funded. And that's a really horrible position to be in. So I think that is even harder rurally, because the less doctors that you have, the harder it is anyway with the on-call, but then you're also having to charge people you don't want to charge, and that's just awful.
Louise, so obviously the overheads of having a practice aren't going to be, I guess, refunded from the government in the scheme at the moment, because it's just not enough money per patient per visit. So clearly the money that GPs are getting, both, you know, as their wage, but also in rebates from the government, aren't enough. But what about the lifestyle of a GP? Like, are GPs generally happy and healthy? Like, is it less stressful being a GP because you're not in like ER or in surgery or hospitals, or is it just as bad as those, you know, facets of doctors as well.
It is at the moment. So I just want to walk you through Medicare because Medicare is a bit complicated. Mm. So, you know, when you have a car accident, right, you have a gap. So I don't know, maybe you do $2,000 worth of damage and your insurance company pays you $1,000, right? When you come to a GP, we might have, I don't know, $80 and the government pays $40, yeah? Mm-hmm. If I bulk bill you, then I just say, oh, I'll just take the $40 as my full fee. Does that make sense? So we don't have a wage, we don't have leave, we don't have super, we don't have any of that. Now, that $40 has got to cover everything in the practice, you know, my syringes, my carpet, my insurance, everything. And now if I see one of the, yeah, I look after young people, so when I see a young person sleeping in their car, if I see them for an hour, that's $50 take home for me before tax.
Mm.
That's without leave and without super. So it's pretty darned hard to make it work. So that's the money side. In terms of the stress side, I think the thing about general practice that makes it incredibly stressful is we're business people, you know, it's not like the hospital handles everything, we do. And so the more bureaucracy, the more paperwork, the more red tape, and we're getting more and more and more and more of that as time marches on, that is all managed by us and none of that is paid either.
It's interesting you say that, Louise, because I've known two GPs recently who have left the profession and I asked them why, yep. And they said, oh, look, it's just the paperwork, we're sick of it, as well as, of course, the Medicare rebate as well.
Yeah, that's right. And it's about 8 hours per week on average is unpaid paperwork. But it's more than that. It's, I think, over the pandemic, the thing we all realised, which was really a shock, was that a lot of things happened that we didn't know. So, for instance, we weren't considered frontline workers in the vaccination program. The government just left us through the first round and didn't vaccinate us till later. And I know that sounds like a small thing, but it's pretty hard to take when you're in the front line and you've got this virus you don't understand and it's so difficult to manage. And we were trying our hardest to make everything work and we weren't eligible for vaccination. And you think, oh, my goodness. We didn't get PPE. We had to buy our own from Bunnings, some of us, a lot of us.
Which would have been difficult to get at the time anyway.
Yeah, exactly. We were bargaining with everybody else at the supermarkets because we weren't allocated any PPE. We weren't given any. And that sort of thing, you know, you go beyond for your patients all the time. And I know that sounds a bit dorky, but you do. You do the home visits on the old ladies and you do sort of check up on people and you do that because you actually care. But when you have to just keep going and going and going and going, eventually you get to the point where you just can't do it anymore. You just can't keep the balls in the air. We're losing a lot more women than we are men. And the reason is that women do most of the heavy lifting with mental health care and chronic disease management. And Medicare pays a lot less in rebates for mental health than it does for physical health. Don't ask me why. It's very odd, but it does.
Mm.
We're chatting to Louise Stone, Associate Professor from ANU Medical School, about why it's hard to see a GP at the moment. Louise, you mentioned about the Medicare rebate, you know, and that gap in particular and not being able to bulk bill your patients as such. And I know the clinic I go to has ceased bulk billing altogether. That would impact people who can't afford necessarily to pay a fee. So we're seeing less people willing to seek medical help. And also, does that therefore mean that these people go to emergency in hospitals instead and clog up that system? So it's sort of a double-edged sword.
And it's so silly because, like, if you come to see me and I do flu vaccines, right? Mm. So let's say I have a whole lot of patients with a flu vaccine. That brings the clinic about, I don't know, $300 an hour. If I see one person with a really serious, complex mental health condition, it's $70 an hour. And I don't understand why that's so. But if they go to accident and emergency, it's $500 or $600 or $700. I mean, it's silly. It doesn't make any sense. I understand that we're in a really difficult position, but you should sort of make it cheap to see us by subsidising so that you don't go to the more expensive services. It doesn't make any sense. And I think we hate it. We hate not being able to bulk bill our patients. We really had to be dragged kicking and screaming into that one because most of us, I mean, you wouldn't do general practice if you were wanting to make a fortune. You do it because you love it, because you love the community and you want to be out here. I know everyone's not the same. There's bad GPs and bad everybody in any profession, isn't there? Mm. But most of us, we love what we do. But having to charge people we don't want to charge, gosh, that's awful. Louise, and we know that they're doing it tough. We know.
Absolutely. Louise, look, we've spoken about a number of different reasons why you're kind of like stuck between a rock and a hard place. What needs to be done for GPs in Australia to make this a more usable system?
And a more attractive profession.
Yeah, exactly. There's a few things. I think the first thing, it's a bit like teachers. It'd sort of be nice to have a bit of a positive story about us for a change. The last positive story I've read about was the Thai cave rescue, which is quite a while ago, really. But there's been an awful lot last year about, you know, we're fraudulent and we're, you know, all the sorts of things that have been going on. And we know in Britain that caused a lot of people to leave. We think it's a bit the same, a bit like teachers, you know. Be nice to us a little bit and being a little bit more realistic about that. We've had a big increase in assault. So we've had a number of people who've been assaulted. We've had our staff assaulted. We've had, all that stuff. So we need to stop that. We need to start treating these people with, the whole staff with a bit of respect. I think the other thing is that I don't really mind whether they raise the rebates or they start paying people who are on Centrelink more money.
Either way, it works out. Yeah, exactly.
But yeah, they just need to be able to cover the cost of care. It shouldn't. You shouldn't be asking a 90-year-old or a veteran to be, paying all this money. It's just wrong. And I think, there's a lot of criticism about, we should get, we shouldn't be hogging things or whatever. We all work with teams. We love our teams. And we all work with nurses and social workers and psychologists and the rest of it. That would be great. But it's still not going to make it cheaper. So we just have to increase the rebate in primary care so that people don't go to accident and emergency.
Absolutely. Louise, super informative. So thank you so much for taking the time to chat with us.
No worries. See ya.
That's General Practitioner and Associate Professor at ANU Medical School, Louise Stone.
You're tuned in to Joy Drive on Joy 94.9.
Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Help us keep Joy on air. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.